Trying to figure out how you're going to achieve your biggest goals can be an intimidating process. Committing to finally achieving a dream is hugely empowering, but once you go looking for advice, you may quickly find that there are many different schools of thought, spoken by very self-assured people, on what path is best for you to take. Sometimes these schools of thought can even butt heads, and their arguments can make you wonder, is there really one best way to achieve your dreams? Fess Menaro is one of these hard-headed people, certain that her path was the best. This eventually led to a clash in goal achievement methods soon after she started dating a fellow aspiring vigilance competitor named Grant Rind. They met near the end of high school and were both incredibly ambitious, having big dreams of becoming world-renowned Global Vigilance League competitors, using their powers to compete in the highest-profile sports league on the planet. Like 22.2% of people in the world, Fess and Grant both developed superpowers naturally, though Fess's were far more rare than Grant's. Grant could increase and decrease the weight of parts of his body, or even his whole body at a time. He could make himself incredibly light to increase his agility, or make himself far heavier if an opponent tried to grapple and lift him, or rapidly increase the weight of just one fist mid-punch to land a much more devastating blow. He was also a firm believer that if you want to achieve a big dream, the only way to do it is to outwork everybody, to grind and hustle and make it clear through sheer grit that there is no way you could not get your goal eventually. Fess, on the other hand, had a category of power that only 0.05% of people get, but even within that, hers was naturally far more evolved than most. She had the power to create physical light constructs to use as weapons, shields, or what have you. She could make platforms, trampolines, swords, clubs, and much more. Her main limitations were that she couldn't make anything that would think for itself, like an animal or an ally, and she couldn't make any working machinery, like cars, guns, jetpacks, or things of that nature. Both of those limitations meant little, though. Fighters such as Flamtatious Staphos had made professional careers for themselves by only being able to create bars and bow staffs. Fess was essentially teed up from birth to easily become a Vigilance League competitor. Her thoughts on goal achievement, though, were far different from Grant's, and lined up fittingly with her powers. She believed in manifesting. She saw the most important part of trying to achieve something as putting yourself in alignment with the success you want, visualizing yourself already having it, and in doing so, events would manifest into your life that would help you reach your goal far more easily. She was still putting in the physical work to improve her fighting skills, but far less than Grant. Just a month into dating, they started to see a big divide in their mentalities. One thing they had been aligned on was wanting to compete in the recently revived Vigilance Doubles League, where two fighters would face off against another two fighters instead of the traditional one-on-one. This league had initially been started 50 years ago, but had been so horribly managed and regulated that it became hated by most fans of the sport. Your rank in the traditional league would go up if you won fights in the doubles league, so wealthy but low-ranking and low-skill fighters would pay off high-skill fighters to fight with them in the doubles league and let their superior ally do all the work. The league tried countering this by adding in rules about how many hits each opponent had to land, but that hadn't accounted for different fighting styles, and so they kept trying to stack more and more rules on top of it until it was nearly impossible for both vigilance and audiences to keep track of what each team needed to do. It was shut down completely for a decade, but just recently was brought back, now with two simple rules. First, the fortitude field that every vigilance competitor wears, which allows them to feel pain of the attacks laid against them without being physically harmed by them, and track who is winning a fight, would be linked between teammates. When one teammate was hit, they would both feel it. This would force them to collaborate more and watch each other's backs. Second, the ranking systems between doubles and singles were completely separate, with the exception that invitational singles tournaments could choose to invite an individual doubles fighter to compete on their own, and their results in that tournament would then determine their traditional league rank. Grant and Fess had gotten together intending to fight together in this league. They'd also been attracted to one another's ambition and looks, but quickly saw how their tactics clashed, and that changed things between them. Grant wanted Fess to start getting up earlier with him, working out and training far more. Fess wanted Grant to cool it and not overexert himself. She said that grinding too much would lead to burnout and maybe even injury, and he should start doing manifestation meditations with her to help attract the future they wanted sooner. Eventually, Fess started getting fed up with Grant telling her that manifesting was a nonsense waste of time, and so she started working out and training even less just to annoy him. And annoy him it did. Soon this led to a blow-up argument where they split up and both stubborn fighters swore to succeed their way and show the other how real success came about. Once high school finished, out of spite, Fess started working out and training even less, focusing more and more on just manifesting. To her credit, she did get scouts and agents coming to her out of nowhere, asking her to come to ability evaluation events, even without going to university to join a school team. Unfortunately, when it actually came time to show off her moves, other than her natural abilities granted by her powers, she didn't have much to show off, and they usually declined to take her on. 2 years passed with opportunities popping up then disappearing. Fess was also keeping tabs on Grant, and tried to pretend she was farther along in her goals than him because he'd gotten no invites to evaluation events. But she couldn't deny that his physique, use of his abilities, and fighting prowess had all significantly improved. At a point, Fess decided to take a break from social media to not see what anyone else's progress was looking like. She went 3 weeks like this before jumping back on, and when she did, she was furious to see that not only had Grant gone to an evaluation and been accepted into the Southwest Amateur American Vigilance Doubles League, but he'd been accepted along with his new girlfriend and partner. Fess creeped her profile and saw that she was all about grinding and hustling too. She and Grant already had dozens of posts training together and bolstered themselves on their socials as the ultimate up-and-coming power couple. That was when Fess's stubbornness pushed her in a new direction. If she wasn't beating him her way, she'd just have to beat him at his own game. Fess set an alarm for 4 a.m. and as soon as it went off, as exhausted as she was, she just pictured Grant and his girlfriend's smug faces and forced herself to leap out of bed and head to the nearest vigilance gym. She started training both her body and her powers, but quickly found she didn't know exactly what she was doing or how best to train. Luckily, on her way out the door on her first day, she saw on the gym's bulletin board a posting for a vigilance trainer who needed to train a few clients for free for a month to get his full license. Fess took it, both because she knew she needed the help, and because the guy on the flyer was pretty hot, and she thought posting herself working out with him could make Grant jealous. A day later, Fess had a session with her new trainer, Lance Baugh. He was a couple years older than Fess, not much taller than her 5'7" frame, but was absolutely shredded. She became a bit skeptical of his ability to train her in the use of her light manifestation abilities because his abilities were far more basic. He essentially just had C-rank agility and D-rank strength and speed, barely even qualifying him to try and become a Vigilance League competitor. Luckily, he quickly proved to her that he knew what he was doing. He sensed her hesitancy and told Fess to attack him with all she had. He even started at a distance, knowing that Fess had ranged abilities and he didn't. Fess created a massive teddy bear as a joke at first and flung it at him to knock him over, but he leapt up, grabbed the side, and flung himself off it towards her, rolling on the ground then sprinting in for an attack himself. In a panic, Fess made a brick wall and thrust it towards him. He just ran up the side and flipped over it, then was still coming at her. She then made two boulders in a panic and flung both at him. This time, he dodged around one and punched the corner of another, causing it to shatter and disappear. Finally, he got to her and swiped his leg under her own, knocking her over. Lance caught her before she hit the ground, and with a satisfied smirk said, "When physical light makers get too anxious, your constructs start falling apart pretty easily. Don't worry, we'll work on that." He lifted her back to her feet, and she found she was upset he hadn't held her a little longer in his very muscular arms, but then quickly focused again on the task at hand, succeeding in rubbing it in Grant's face. She started by meeting with Lance once a week, while also training on her own every other day of the week. Lance told her to take rest days, but she didn't listen. She knew Grant wouldn't have done that, and she wanted to show that she could use his method of success better than he could. She was clearly getting stronger and better at all aspects of combat, but she found she was so drained of energy that she stopped taking any time to do her manifesting practices that she'd sworn by. She started to find that no matter how much progress she was seeing, she was never satisfied with it, and no new offers were coming in to show off the progress she was making. She'd still wake up determined and still put in the work, but she was frequently angry or at least disheartened. On her old method, she wasn't seeing much in the way of physical results, but her mental health, for the most part, had been pretty stable. Eventually, Lance offered to train her on more days, saying he simply saw her improvement and was invested in helping her more. But as he started spending more time with her, he started seeing how far she was pushing herself and got concerned. He learned that she wasn't taking any rest days and tried to convince her to take some, but she'd just say she would, then wouldn't. Finally, she showed up at the gym at 4:30 one morning on a day she wasn't supposed to meet Lance, but there he was waiting. He turned her around and said he wasn't going to let her train today. She was annoyed and tried to fight him at first, but he wrapped an arm around her shoulder to turn her around and walk away from the gym, and it felt kinda nice, so she just let it happen. He took her to get some coffee and breakfast, and for the first time they had a long conversation about why she was doing what she was doing. Lance had gotten some idea of her drive to become a doubles league champion, but was now getting the full picture, including her desire to rub her success in her ex's face. She even mentioned that she used to think she was going to get her dreams just by manifesting them, but saw that that hadn't really worked. To her surprise, though, Lance's response was, "So you're not doing any manifesting anymore?" She was kind of shocked that a shredded gym rat even knew what manifesting was, but he suddenly pulled up his pant leg to his knee and showed a massive set of thick scars. Lance told her that he'd been in a car accident when he was 17, and his leg had been completely mangled. 4 different doctors had told him that he'd never be able to walk on it again, and some even suggested amputating it. He got reconstructive surgery done to put it back together as best as possible, but even then he could barely put weight on it and was told he should use a wheelchair. He'd refused, though. He'd spent his whole life wanting to either compete in vigilance competitions or at least train competitors. He also loved learning new ways to move his body and was not going to give that up because of other people's limiting beliefs of how much he could heal. So, he started both doing consistent physiotherapy, but also every night he'd write in a journal, "I'm so grateful that my leg is completely healthy and functional." He'd write it multiple times, then go to sleep, making himself feel as though that future had already come. Despite being told his leg would never work normally again, after just 6 months, he was not only walking, but running, jumping, and even doing some flips. Now, despite the scars, he says it feels better and stronger than before the accident even happened. He finished by saying, "I don't think I could have done it if I was just doing the physical work. Visualizing and mindset work are just as important, but I think you gotta do both. I don't know if I think the mindset stuff works because the universe is actually listening to you, or you're just keeping your mood up, which makes your body more able to heal and strengthen, and you're priming yourself to see more opportunities that are already around you. But either way, I've proven to myself a bunch of times that the combination of putting in the physical work and manifesting pretty much always eventually gets the results I'm after, or better." He even then pulled his journal out of his bag, showing her that he carried it around with him everywhere, and it was full of other experiences he was still working on bringing into his life. Lance saying all of that was both inspiring and finally let Fess accept how drained and unhappy she'd felt by overworking herself and stopping her manifesting practices. She told Lance that she would start taking her rest days and start mixing in her old methods with her new. Then, on a whim, she even asked him if he wanted to be her doubles partner to try and get into the amateur league. A massive grin came across his face and he flipped open his journal. He handed it to her so she could read a line, written multiple times, that said, "I'm grateful Fess and I are such incredible doubles league partners." He said he'd wanted to ask her to partner up, but felt it was inappropriate while he was her trainer. To his dismay, though, Fess then started flipping through more pages of the journal. He tried to swipe it back from her, but she put up a physical light wall to block him from grabbing it. Quite quickly, she found more mentions of her, including a set of affirmations that read, "I'm grateful that Fess and I finally kissed." She read it aloud, and his face went beet red.
I know it's kind of can you just give it back already?"
Before she did, she noticed there was a pen in the binding of the journal. She pulled it out and wrote something in herself. Finally, she lowered her shield and slid the book back to him. It read, "I'm so incredibly grateful Fess kissed me for the first time on the Southwestern Amateur Winners podium." He smiled widely and said, "All right, let's make it happen, partner." They got back down to work, doing both the physical and mental practices, all while taking the breaks they needed to avoid burning out. Over the next 3 months, they made incredible strides in both their skill levels and started learning how to use their strengths together. Fess became focused enough to be able to fight while simultaneously making constructs for Lance to maneuver himself on. Her giving him bouncing platforms to leap off and bars to swing on, and even weapons to use, were a huge upgrade to his skill set. The only problem Fess was having was she really regretted that she'd written their first kiss would be on the Southwestern winner's podium. She hadn't considered how far away that could actually be. Lance was sticking to it, but clearly not thrilled about the way either. They both even started wearing tighter, more revealing clothing during their training sessions, essentially taunting each other and making it that much harder to not just jump each other right there at the gym. Luckily, a day came when they were given the opportunity they needed. A well-renowned agent named Chan Seki, who represented big-name fighters like Freya Sparks, Chadwick Gygar, and Flamtatious Staphos, reached out to Fess and Lance. She was looking to get some clients in the new retooled doubles scene, and had had scouts spot them training. She invited them to an ability evaluation for her to get them into the amateur league, with the hopes to take them much farther in the long term. Fess and Lance went to the event, showed off what they could do, and Chan accepted them as her first doubles league clients. They were so excited they could kiss each other. But, you know, they didn't because of that dumb thing they decided. They fought in some minor competitions and won every match, before finally getting to the Southwestern Doubles Tournament. Not only was it their first major competition, but they were considered the favorites to win. There was a slight hiccup in Fess's original plans to show up Grant, though. He and his partner had been forced to drop out of this tournament. Grant had overtrained and gotten hairline fractures in both legs, forcing him to sit this one out until he recovered. Fess still liked the idea of rubbing a victory in Grant's face, and had a bit of a sense of smug pride for being right that he'd overtrained, but by that point it was way down her list of priorities. She was too excited about her success and her budding relationship with Lance to care what Grant thought. Standing in their waiting room with Lance, all she could think of was them up on the podium together. But before getting out there, they locked eyes, and it was like their hearts went in sync. Lance suddenly said, "You know, I think I found a little loophole in what you wrote in my journal. It says the first time you kiss me is on the winner's podium, right?" Fess grinned excitedly. "That's a very, very good point." Lance immediately pulled her in close and kissed her. They stayed intertwined for so long that they both almost missed it when the bell chimed for them to come out and start the tournament. Neither wanted to pull away, but they knew it was time to get out there and start their careers as legends in the Doubles Vigilance League. And even if they had embraced before the tournament started, their kiss on the first place podium would be just as amazing as they both imagined. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Vigilance, the message behind which was inspired by my own methods for building my YouTube channel, Popgrass Studios, into a career 5 years ago. I did overwork myself, but I also kept myself sane by visualizing me from the future coming back in time to tell me how amazing the success was, and that it was guaranteed to come if I kept at it. Then I would feel as if that success had already come in the present moment before it actually had. I did that before I even knew what manifesting really was, but now I'm a big fan. After a year of building it on the side while working as a full-time animator, I was making more money off YouTube than at my job, so I started doing it full-time. So manifest or grind, how about a good balance of both? If you enjoyed this, check out more episodes, or subscribe, or hit whatever good buttons are available. I don't know what platform you're listening on, because I'm making this available as a podcast as well, not just on YouTube, but I do have hundreds of other videos and stories on my YouTube channel, Popgrass Studios, in other original series like Multiverse Tales, which has been going for much longer than Vigilance. Check those out too if you like my storytelling. Thanks, and have an awesome day!